I would like, Ron, the teaching is going to be called God's Heart to Your Heart. Ron always has to do that, has to know, because he's got to put it on the website. So I want to read an excerpt from a book called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And this is on thought and character. The aphorism, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, not only embraces the whole man's being, but is so comprehensive as to reach out to every condition and circumstance of his life. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so every act of man springing from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. This applies equally to those acts called spontaneous and unpremeditated, as to those which are deliberately executed. Act is the blossom of thought, and joy and suffering are its fruit. Thus does a man garner in the sweet and bitter fruitage of his own husbandry. Thought in the mind hath made us. What we are by thought was wrought and built. If a man's mind hath evil thought, pain comes on him. On him, as comes the wheel, the ox behind. If one endure in purity of thought, joy follows him as his own shadow sure. Man is a growth by law and not a creation by artifice, and cause and effect are as absolute, as undeviating in the hidden realm of thought as in the world of visible and material. A noble and godlike character is not a thing of favor or chance, but is the natural result of continued effort in right thinking, the effort of long cherished association with godlike thoughts. An ignoble and bestial character, by the same process, is the result of continual harboring of groveling thoughts. That's interesting, isn't it? Man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools with which he builds for himself heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse and wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. Between these two extremes are all the grades of character, and man is their maker and master. That's pretty amazing. Of all the beautiful truths pertaining to the soul, which have been restored and brought to light in this age, none is more gladdening or fruitful of divine promise and confidence that this, that man is the master of thought, the molder of character, and the maker and shaper of condition, environment, and destiny. As a being of power, intelligence, and love, and the lord of his own thoughts. You're the lord of your own thoughts, whether you like it or not. It's the way it works. Man holds the key to every situation and contains within himself that transforming and regenerative agency by which he makes himself what he wills. And I thought that was tremendous in light of what I'm going to share. So please turn to Proverbs 23. That's a neat little book. I don't know if any of you got it. I'm sure some of you do. But I was reading it, and I thought that's pretty much sums up, you know, a lot of things. A lot of people don't realize that their thoughts are so important. Every thought you think is important. So you need to watch what you think. I know a song called, I think it's called Think About What You're Thinking About. Jeanette sings it. And we really need to do that. Think about what you're thinking about. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, that pretty much says what that guy said in that little bit of stuff that I read to you. And I don't know if he got the title of that book. It's called As a Man Thinketh. If he got that from Proverbs. I don't know. But anyway, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think in your heart is what you manifest in your life. Please turn to Proverbs 4. You're going to know all these verses. You've heard them hundreds of times. But this is God's heart to our heart. He wants us to see how important our thoughts are. Proverbs 4. 23, I believe, is the verse. Yeah. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It doesn't say your brother keeps your heart for you, or your sister, your wife, your daughter, your friends. It says you do it. It's a command. You do it. Another way it's translated is guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. If you want to know what people are thinking and what's in their heart, just when you talk to them, listen, and what they actually think in their heart sooner or later comes out of their mouth. And you can see what's going on in their head by just listening to what they're saying. About what they believe or about whatever, you know. They're thinking. So we can use this thing called heart to our advantage as believers by keeping and guarding our heart with all diligence. Now, how are we going to do this? Because there is a way to do it. And this is the practical side of life. Number one, God gave us freedom of will to think what we want to think when we want to think it. You have a choice to believe the word or not to. You have a choice to think good thoughts or evil thoughts. You do have that choice because God doesn't overstep free will. He gave us free will just like Adam and Eve. They chose to do the wrong thing. We actually have an advantage over Adam and Eve in that we can learn from the mistake they made, which was disobeying God's word, and make up our minds not to repeat what they did. And therein lies the challenge. Make your mind think the word. Make your mind stay on the word. Make your mind say what the word says despite the circumstances. Let's say you're getting the cold. I drive my wife crazy. I do not confess I'm getting a cold. I confess by whose stripes you, Owen, were healed. That's truth. The cold isn't truth. The sickness, disease, it's not the truth. The truth is the word. And that's what you can base your life on. But it has to be thought. It has to get to the point where it's in the heart. And you literally believe it. You carry it out to the best of your ability. They had God's word, and by free will, they chose to disobey it. We do not have to do that. We can, by free will, choose to obey God's word. And here's the answer. Please turn to Proverbs 3. Two of my favorite verses in the Bible. These guide me through my whole life and almost every decision I make. And they're very simple. It says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with part of your, no.
All thine heart.
See, God is a God of heart. He's interested in your heart. He wants it. He wants you to put his word in it because he knows what that word will do for your heart and your life and your desires. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean unto all your understanding. Oh, no way. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And you know what's interesting about this? It says lean not to your own understanding, but it also implies don't lean to your misunderstanding. Because you can misunderstand God's word and be wrong, and that doesn't make God or his word wrong. That makes your understanding wrong. So you have to bring your mind into subjection to the written word and what it says. That's why it's so important to study it, work it, read it. Be around people who do the same thing, who can speak that truth to you. In all your ways, acknowledge. Some of the translations translate this, recognize him. When you go to do things, do you say, Father, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Here's what I got figured out. Which is okay, you're supposed to use your brain. God didn't give you a brain for you to sit on it. But recognize him. Okay, Father, what do you think? What should we do in this situation? See, and these two verses cover almost all of life. They're incredible. And it's really interesting because this is the only other place in the Bible. This, in the Septuagint, this word direct is the word orthotomanto. It's the only other place in the Bible used other than 2 Timothy 2. And remember, 2 Timothy 2 says, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? This says, he's going to rightly divide your path if you look to him, if you trust him, if you don't lean to your understanding. Because sometimes we get smart and intellectual and we forget he's a lot smarter and more, way more intellectual than we are. And we need his help. We need his ability to deliver. Because we can't deliver ourselves. We know that. It took Jesus Christ to take care of that. You see, we need to recognize and remember that God is out for your absolute best interest. And we need to recognize that he's out for our absolute best outcome in our lives. Whatever that may be. No matter whatever you're going through. You know. Please turn to Proverbs 15:13. It's a fun time through Proverbs. Such a great book. I remember Dr. Worrell said, if you could master Proverbs, you could have a PhD in life. Well, whew, that's a lot. It's just such a deep meanings in some of this stuff. Proverbs 15:13. A grumpy heart, no. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit's broken. Isn't that the truth? You let your head get into being sorrowful and bummed out, your face is going to mean it. But a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So you won't be running around looking like you're crabby all the time with a frown on your face. Have a happy face. Smile. Smile on the outside because you're smiling on the inside because you know what God's doing. You know how he's helped you. You know he's going to continue to help you no matter what you're in, no matter what circumstance you have. There's nothing bigger than Almighty God. Nothing. And Lucifer proved that to us because he tried to overthrow him and God kicked his butt out of heaven. And that bird will be dealt with someday in the future, thank God. Jesus Christ took care of all of it. And we need to recognize that. in light of our minds and our hearts staying on God's word. You know, sometimes you get in a situation where you're pressured mentally, and man, it just seems like you can't throw it off. You can't get rid of the thoughts. So what do you do? Well, you say, Father, what's going on here? And maybe it's an evil spirit messing with you. And maybe you have to kick that evil spirit out of the house or wherever you may be. And maybe it's just you being lazy with your mind. And the only one who knows that is God. So you go to him, acknowledge him in everything you do. That verse is so amazing. In all you do, it doesn't say in some things, it doesn't say once in a while, it says in all. That's awesome. And the neat thing is, you know, the doors are open 24/7. Jesus Christ threw out the red carpet for you. All you got to do is walk up the red carpet and say, hey, Father, help. Because, he's more interested in answering our prayers than we are praying them. He really is. He loves us so much, you guys. All right. Life is supposed to be a happy time. Turn to Colossians 3. It really is. It is. Colossians 3. Verse, you know what? I want to read this out of the Working Translation. Colossians. I love this Working Translation. I'm so thankful for the guys. Earl and Nancy were part of this. The people that got to work on this. And we get so blessed from the fruit of their labor. Years. This did not happen overnight. This was years of work. Sometimes I think we forget. This was years of work. This wasn't like they sat down and 3 weeks later they had it put together. So it's something to be thankful for. Colossians 3. Well, that's why that don't look right. That's 2. Verse 16, it says, let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. Not hesitantly, not partially, not once in a while. Richly. Teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And here's the happy part. Singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to God. That's what God wants us to do. That singing is not just a figure of speech. That's what he means. Sing. You know, like we sing these songs in the morning, like when Jeanette sings for us. It's really neat. Turn to Psalm 138:7. I saw this one the other day. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Man, the mind. God has given us such a great thing with the mind that we can actually control it and think with it and reason with it. Now, you want to reason according to the word, not reason according to what the world says, or you'll get a headache from that. Psalm 138. Let's see my notes here. Verse 7. Sorry, getting there. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. All right, now notice it doesn't say you're never going to have trouble. Any Christian that thinks they're never going to have trouble has been deceived by the enemy. Because the enemy wants you to think, well, if you have trouble, there's something wrong with you. You did something wrong. That's a lie from hell. It has nothing to do with you. But look at this. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou, God, will revive me. That's cool, isn't it? Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And that's what you want your Father to do. Kick their butts. Isn't that cool? What a cool Old Testament verse. This is Old Testament. It's not addressed to you. But we can learn from it. a lot. And thy right hand shall save me. Think about it. You're seated at the right hand of God biblically. Physically, we're not there yet. His right hand has already saved us. This guy was looking forward. They didn't have what we have today. We have sonship rights that they didn't have. We have things that Jesus Christ accomplished that they didn't have. And yet, they still look to God to revive them and to take care of the enemies and to keep them blessed. Doesn't say there, well, you're never going to have a problem. Of course you are. You got an enemy. He's a jerk. That's what he does. Steal, kills, destroy. Don't forget his ministry. That's not to magnify him. That's just to be reminded that he is real. He lives, and he does. He lives to steal, kill, and destroy people. And we don't have to be subject to that stupidity because Jesus Christ defeated it. And that's really cool. Turn to Psalm 73, please. Back a few. This is one of my favorite psalms. If you haven't read it in a while, it is. At Living Victoriously, Dr. World taught Living Victorious in Peace Part 2. This is about a 30-minute, and I'm not going to teach what he's. I'm just going to read one verse, but it's a teaching on peace and how to stay peaceful, how to keep your heart and mind at peace and rest in Him. And he shows you in here how this man wasn't at peace. He was walking around. He was bummed out. He was looking around. He was looking at other people and the unbelievers. Oh, woe is me. Oh, boy, isn't everybody else got more than I got? And then it says when he came to the sanctuary of God, he realized his life was better than theirs because he had the true God. And he had the true God to turn to even in the midst of everything he was doing wrong. But Psalm 73, this is one of my favorite verses too. In verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth. Oh my God, how many times a day does that go on for you? I know it does for me a lot. It does. Flesh and heart. My flesh, my old nature, and my believing heart isn't always believing. I want it to, but it isn't always. But look at this. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength. And there are other texts. It's actually more accurate translated, rock of my heart. God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Wow. How about thinking about that through your week when you're going through something? The boss barks at you or he does something stupid and you know it's stupid and you can't tell them because they won't listen to you. Because they're the boss and you're just a little worker, so to speak. See, these kind of, isn't that a great verse? My flesh and my heart faileth. God knows that happens to us, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Man, oh man. Put that in your brain. Think about it for a while. Get it to sink in your heart to where you believe it. You live it. I was telling a young lady this week, we were talking about the Bible. I said, you know, the Bible is absolutely no good to you if you don't believe it. She said, what do you mean? I said, it's God's word, but if you don't put it in practice, it doesn't benefit your life. And she went, well, I didn't think about that. I said, well, there you go. I said, now you know. And we have to remember that. You know, because you can read the Bible all you want, but if it's not living to you, if it's not real, if it's not in your heart of hearts where you're believing, it doesn't benefit you fruit wise. You can quote a verse, so what? I mean, look, was it Khrushchev quoted the four gospels at a filibuster? He was a rank atheist, but he memorized all four gospels to prove how great his stupid mind was. but he didn't believe a word of it. But he had a big ego, that's for sure. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength, the rock of mine heart and my portion forever. You see, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of unbelief, we may have at times, the one thing we have is our Heavenly Father God to trust, rely, and draw strength from. I'll tell you what, if I didn't have that, I couldn't make this life. I wouldn't be here. Yes, at times we go through trials because of our enemy, but be of good cheer. Jesus Christ said he's overcome the world. Ha! All right? Who's in you? So of you. You've overcome the world because it's Christ in you. No matter what the enemy does, if he kills you, you still get gathered together and you're in eternity forever. And there's not a darn thing that bird can do about it. And it makes him angry, which is good. Turn to 1 John 4. I have a lot of favorite verses. This is the first verse I ever taught my daughter. And she, you know what? She's never forgotten this verse. She was going through some stuff, and this was the answer of God for her. It was the answer to the situation. You know, you can have, there's sometimes half a dozen, maybe 10 verses that may apply to something. But how do you know which one to use? How do you know which one is God's word there for that situation? You need information. And God's, as we've learned in the advanced class, very clear in communicating to man. You know, they used to call Ronald Reagan the great communicator. Well, he was pretty good, but he ain't anything like our God. God is the almighty communicator. He's really awesome. 1 John, I'll get to it. 4, verse 4. I taught on this a couple weeks ago, a month ago or so. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So what are you afraid of? The devil? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Devil's in the world. How about devil spirits? How about seed of the serpent? How about people who just like to spit in your face because you're a Christian? Year of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the truth. That isn't a platitude. That isn't a, oh, that's a cool verse. I wish I understood it. No, it's reality. It's true. And these are the type of things we've got to put in our hearts so we can stand against. It doesn't tell, you know, sometimes you'll hear Christians say, fight the devil. There's nowhere in the Bible it says to fight the devil. That fight's over. Jesus Christ already kicked his butt. All we got to do is stand. Having done all, stand. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Standing on the truth of the word. Getting it in your heart. God's heart to your heart. That's why I named that teaching that way. It's his heart, his word to your heart, to the point where you believe it, you carry it out. I'm going to read this out of the Working Translation. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is some more practical stuff in light of this subject. And then I'm going to be done. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, although we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, so don't forget it. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 tells you. For the weapons of our warfare, not of the flesh. So quit trying to stand against the enemy with your flesh. You can't do it. It'll fail every time. But powerful to by God to the demolition of fortified strongholds, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. They talk about athletes being disciplined. And yes, they are. But they ain't as disciplined as what this is talking about. Every thought. Every one of them. Because when athletes are on the off season, the really good ones never have an off season. But even those guys, they don't have to do this. Or they don't get the privilege, should I say, to do this. This is a privilege and an honor. To be able to have a word where you can bring it, your thoughts, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I love this next verse. Most people don't read it, but it's here. And being ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. It's the only place in the Bible God talks about a Christian avenging anything. It's the only place I've ever seen. And isn't that something? God's given us all this great word, this understanding. And all he says is, all I want is your heart. He didn't ask for a whole lot, just your heart. It's really not a whole... Somebody wrote a song about that. I don't know if it was Jeanette or somebody else. Could have been George Hackett. About the song was about, you know, all he asks is for my heart. And he said, I don't think that's very much. So keep your heart with all diligence. Christ came to make available more than abundant life for every person on the planet, whether they ever accept it or not. They don't have to accept it. You don't have to be a Christian if you don't want to be. But heck, if you're one, why not do it the way God wants it done? Makes sense to me. God gives us his word and the opportunity to succeed from his heart to our hearts. And that's what I had to share. Thank you, Father, for your word and your faithfulness, your goodness, your grace, and thank you for giving us a mind that we can decide to hold your word in and to the point where it gets to our hearts, where our believing is what you want it to be, and that we can rise up and just trust you at your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.